In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. We're going to go straight to Acts chapter 13. We'll pick it up from verse 26, but a brief recap. We, for the first time, we read of St. Paul's sermon, preaching, not his first words that he spoke, but his actual sermon. And we notice that he begins from the captivity. He takes those who are in the synagogue and takes them back to the captivity, and he works his way until John the Baptist, and we ascertained to remind them that, using history that they were quite familiar with, to remind them what God had prepared, what God had promised, and that now he's going to tell them that it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And we learned from that when we want to speak about a specific biblical topic, a specific sacrament, or anything pertaining to faith and religion, and most importantly, the Christian religion, about Jesus Christ or God, we can't just pick one verse and say, there it is. And we brought some examples. We used some examples. You can't just tell me baptism is Mark chapter 16, verse 16, for example. So we need to go back to what was a shadow of the things to come, which was the Old Testament, and what is now the shadow of the things to come when the Lord returns, which is the New Testament. I'll read from verse 26 to 28, and that's Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13. St. Paul continues to say, O men and brethren, descendants of the family of Abraham, that is the Jews, and whosoever among you reverences God. So whoever that believes in the law, in the God, Elohim, and who obeys the law, he's referencing them as well. To you is the word of salvation sent. There's the first word of salvation. Salvation from what? From the law and the prophets, the bondage of the law and the bondage of the prophets, right? Of Moses. For inasmuch as the inhabitants of Jerusalem and their leaders did not understand him, that is Jesus, nor the books of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day. Remember, we spoke about this, that when Jesus was resurrected and ascended into heaven, the apostles would continue to go on the Sabbath to the synagogue to listen to the readings of the law and the prophets, but then they would preach Jesus Christ, or they would then use the prophets and the laws to then emphasize that they have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Praise be to his name. Every Sabbath day, they condemned him. But all the things which were written have been fulfilled. And though they found no cause for his death, they asked Pilate that they might kill him. Now he's talking about, you know, those fathers, those that were there during Christ's time and what they actually did to Jesus Christ. You'll see that during Paul's sermons and, you know, his writings, on all of the occasions when he's addressing the Jews, the people of the promise, we find that he's making a point to show them that the blessing is also theirs. Yes, what they did was wicked because of their stiff-neckedness, because of their pride, because of their blindness. What they did was wicked. But they cannot flee from Jesus Christ because he is God. Praise be to his name. So he's sort of a little bit maybe apologizing on their behalf. You know, they thought for themselves that we have nothing to do. We crucified him. That's it. But what St. Paul wants to do is to give them hope, to bring them to the hope, to show them that, listen, you did not crucify, you did not kill, you did not put to death the one and only true Son of God. No, no, no. God had foreordained this. And so Jesus voluntarily submitted himself to death. You know, as I was saying, if we role play this, is as though Jesus said, come death, come on, okay, you're going to affect me now, yes, take over, you're going to have an effect on my body, but be careful and wait for a crushing, because I'm going to destroy you. So I'm going to allow you to do this so that I can come back and destroy you. Oh, death, you're not having an effect on me because you are overcoming me, because you are stronger than me, because you are overwhelming me. No, 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 no. I submit myself. That's why Jesus says, the Son of Man, I have authority to lay down my life myself and to one more time resurrected. So as we've said in many other episodes, you know, death did not overcome. Death did not win. Death did not affect. Jesus gave himself up and submitted himself in obedience to death so that he could overcome death for you and I, beloved, in his flesh. What a beautiful, you know, you tell me, you message me, you call me, you do whatever you want to do. Tell me in the history of the world that someone has done such a gracious act of love and mercy and kindness that you and I have benefited from. No, no. Yes, the holy saints who devoted themselves to the Lord, those who devoted their lives to the Lord, they did it through Jesus Christ, but Christ did it himself for you and I. No one, no author of any ridiculous faith can claim this. No, no, no. They can't claim it. If they do, they are liars. They are deceivers. There is nothing that anyone could do for mankind that would bring the blessing that we receive from Jesus Christ, voluntarily giving himself up. You know, what is it? The prophecy says that as a sheep that is taken to the slaughter, he did not open his mouth. He could have. He's God. He could have, as he said to Simon, put away your sword. I can ask for legions. That is 10,000s of 10,000s, trillions, gazillions of angels can come down now and fight on my behalf. And again, angels are not little kids fondling themselves as they are being predicted. No, 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 no. Angels are huge. 10,000s I can bring down. But no, 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 it's time. I'm voluntarily doing this. That's why I came. That's why God loved so. For this reason, God loved the world that he gave himself. He presented his son, and he did not rescue his son from death. So he's trying to tell him subliminally, yes, you did it because of your wickedness. You were wicked, but it was to be fulfilled. Someone had to die. Many died but could not bring atonement through the blood, could not appease God, but the Son of God, the only one and only begotten Son of God. Praise be to his name, Jesus Christ. For as much as the inhabitants of Jerusalem and their leaders did not understand him, they did not understand, they didn't know him. So the sin, again, he's trying to tell them that what happened was an ignorance. They thought they were doing something great, just like St. Paul himself, Saul. Saul thought he's a hero. He's the man of the match. He's going to be hailed a hero because he is so learned of the law. But that's why Christ caused him to be blind, you know, showing that you know nothing, Saul, you know nothing. He thought he was doing something great. Those who were following the way, the people of the way, not Christians, they weren't called Christians, they were called the people of the way, and Jesus is the way, praise be to his name. He would go and capture them and bring them to the Romans. They would feed them to the lions, right? Or they would be persecuted, put to death. Okay, so the same thing with these people, because their sin was in ignorance. They didn't read, they didn't understand that this was to happen. see how he's gently making, again, an apology on their behalf of the crucifiers. Like, okay, you've done this. You know, this gives me personally a lot of courage and a lot of heart, beloved. Is sometimes we're foolish. Sometimes we do things. Sometimes, at times we sin. We drop the ball. We transgress against the law. You know, sometimes knowingly, and at times, not knowing. That's why the priest says, "Absolve my sins, and that's those that I know, and those which I do not know, by your grace and mercies." At times we do things and we feel so bad, so down and out, and we withdraw ourselves from Christ as though I cannot have a relationship with Jesus Christ because of where I am. But hey, that's Satan. That's the enemy. You know, this is great encouragement. You know, it's don't write yourself off from Jesus Christ and the love, the grace of Jesus Christ. Come back to the Lord, regardless of what you have done, knowingly or unknowingly. And not only this, beloved, but he adds also that this needed to be happened. It was written. Let me read it again. "For inasmuch as the inhabitants of Jerusalem and their leaders did not understand him, nor the books of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they condemned him. But all these things which were written have been fulfilled." They were written, they were prophesied. They were already in God's perfect plan for the salvation, the word of salvation, which is Jesus Christ. "And though they found no cause for the death, they asked Pilate that they might kill him." You know, again, being stiff-necked, stubborn, prideful. There was no reason. His trial was illegal. It was an illegal trial. You cannot judge a man and condemn to death in that overnight. Overnight he was condemned to death. They didn't find anything that warranted his death. That's what Pilate said. But they, in haste, lied and made up stories and they crucified. But again, what St. Paul is saying, this was all written. This was written and it had to happen. But you, again, not justifying what they did, but it had to happen, and you were the fools and the sinners who did it. Many of the priests and the, Nicodemus and all those learned of, many accepted Jesus Christ. They accepted, they repented, but those who didn't, Paul is addressing them. But God raised him from the dead. God raised him. Didn't Jesus claim in John chapter 2 verse 19 that, talking about the temple, he said, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it up. There's that I factor, the I am, the I factor. I will raise it up. But St. Paul says God raised Jesus. Well, Jesus is God. You know, one of the fathers writes that Jesus' divinity raised his humanity from the dead. John chapter 8, before Abraham was, I am. Matthew chapter 5, it has been written, it has been said in the old, but I say to you, I. So when St. Paul is saying that God raised him from the dead, yeah, the divinity, and it is the body of the Son that has been raised from the dead, the humanity, the body that has been of the Son that has been risen and resurrected from the dead, not the divinity. Here he is referring to the person of the Son, the human nature, the human pneuma or hypostasis of the Son that God resurrected. Just as when Jesus said in John chapter 5 verse 26, the Father gave life to the Son. What life? Gave life to the flesh. Yes, the Father gave life to the flesh. Why? Because if Jesus himself is life, I am the life, right? John chapter 14, verse 6, I am life. How can life receive life? No, but in the flesh, in his humanity, hence we say the holy feast of the birth of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ in the flesh, in his humanity, because in his divinity he is pre-existent, always existed. And let me pose this question to you. I did it in the Assyrian segment. Who in the history of mankind can claim this? Who in the history of mankind can claim the pre-existence of their nature? Who? No one. No leader of all these, some of the ridiculous faiths that are out there. No, they never claimed. They did not dare to claim. The scriptures didn't say that about them. Their books don't claim that about their leaders. But the scriptures claim he is pre-existent. He is pre-existent. He was resurrected. His body, his flesh was resurrected. And who rose it? His divinity resurrected his humanity. Verse 31, and for many days he was seen by them who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. Because remember, he said to his disciples, we're going to go to Jerusalem from Galilee. The Son of Man will be captured and he will be, deceitfully condemned, and he will be handed over to the men, and they will beat him and they will crucify him. But on the third day, he will be resurrected. You know, this is evident. This is true because he appeared to many. That's what he's going to say. And for many days he was seen by them who came up with it. For many days, yeah, for 40 days. 40 days his disciples busked in Jesus' presence, the resurrected Lord Jesus, the glorified Lord Jesus Christ. And it was true. Jesus was seen alive, beloved, not in a dream, not according to a ridiculous myth, not according to psychics, fortune tellers, tarot card readers. No, he was seen in the flesh. He was gazed at, St. John writes. They heard him. They touched him. Thomas touched the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the scriptures don't say that he did, but Jesus says, come and touch. And I believe the Father's right, that, yeah, he touched because Jesus commanded him. We don't read that Thomas said, oh, no, Lord, I'm not worthy to touch you. No, he must have touched the places of the nails and then proclaimed that Jesus is his Lord and his God. Come on, get it right. You know, it disappoints me. It annoys me that when those who don't accept Jesus Christ haven't believed in Jesus Christ, but they believe and they give up their life for someone who is dead and gone and decayed and corrupted, right? Show me in the Bible where Jesus got. Thomas claims that he is his Lord and his God, and Jesus didn't. You know, someone was saying, show me in the Bible where Jesus says, I'm God. He doesn't say, I am God. He didn't need to say, I am God. I am God. Yeah, verbatim, I am God is not. But Ruh Allah is God. Kalam Allah is God. And when Thomas proclaims, you are my Lord and my God, and Jesus did not say, Thomas, you can't say that. I'm not your. No, no. He said, now that you've seen and touched, you know, I added the touch. Yes, I know. Now that you've seen, you believe. No, no, no. Blessed are those who don't, have not seen and have believed. And verse 32 to 33, he goes on, and behold, we also preach to you that very promise which was made to our fathers, behold, God has fulfilled it to us, their children, for he has raised up Jesus, just as it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son, this day I have begotten you. The promises that were given to the fathers was fulfilled to the children, which was them. One of the fathers writes it beautifully, God fulfilled his promise given through the prophets of Israel who were not frauds. You know, some people, and now let's bring it home. It annoys me, yeah. It really annoys me when you have Christians who make a mockery of the prophets of God. Why? Because they're not your tribe and they're not your same nationality. No, no. We have Assyrians who, you know, our brothers and sisters, our Assyrian brothers, who mock Moses, who mock the prophets of God. They actually don't even want to have anything to do with the prophets of God. Well, let me tell you something. If you proclaim that you know Jesus and you love Jesus and you are obedient to Christ, well, Christ himself spoke of Moses and the prophets. So where do you stand with that? No, repent. That's where you stand. You stand at the at the place of repentance. They predicted his birthplace. They predicted that Emmanuel was conceived by a virgin, writes one of the fathers. They predicted the signs and wonders performed by him. How? How? Through God. God worked through them. So if God worked through them, we got to be careful. You cannot tell God, I love you, Lord. I love your son. Oh, and I love some of your saints and what have you, but your prophets. No, 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 no. It's ridiculous. They predicted his word would spread so speedily. They predicted the voice of the apostles even went forth in all the earth. They predicted this. They predicted the suffering and the condemnation by the Jews, and they predicted his resurrection from the dead. And that's what St. Paul is saying. However, the fulfillment of all those predictions was with the children, which is they themselves. The promise was to the fathers. The reality of the promise was to them themselves. Do you see how beautifully St. Paul is? This is the way we need to talk, as I said last time, about God. You know, not just take one verse. Look at the entire scriptures. And not only this, don't limit Christ and Christianity to a book. We cannot limit Christ's power and strength and work to a book. No, go back to the early church fathers. Go to the fathers. Go to the apostles. How did they understand this? And we see St. Paul, this is what he's doing. He's expanding on this so that he can bring those to repentance, those who crucified Jesus Christ. And he says, listen, you know, you did it. This was your sin, but you fulfilled what was written. That's why Jesus, St. Paul writes, I think it's in the book of Corinthians, that if they too will stop from their unbelief, the Lord can graft them back. I think it's Hebrews. The Lord can one more time graft them into the vine again. And he's talking about those who crucified him, those who rejected him. And he says that, behold, we also preach to you that very promise which was made to our fathers, God has fulfilled to us their children, for he has raised him up, that is Jesus, just as it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son, this day I have begotten you. You are my son. This is the Father speaking to the Son, that is his power and his wisdom. Hence, God raised him from the dead. And Jesus is the power and the wisdom of God. Jesus is God, according to 1 Corinthians 1:24. Since he is the Son by nature and by truth, he's shown forth from the very essence of God. We say he is the reflection of God. Praise be to his name. He was made flesh, yeah. The Word that was with God and was God in the beginning became flesh, John chapter 1, verse 14. But we need to remember, beloved, also, that he was before with the Father. He was before his incarnation, he was with the Father. Before he became flesh, he was with the Father. The Father knew him. The Father was with the Father. The Father knew him and the Son knew the Father. That's why the Son came and introduced us to the Father. Who, again, one more time, let's take it back. Which prophet, which saint, which apostle has introduced us to the Father but Jesus Christ? Who? Which other religious leader has introduced us to the Father and said such statements that he who sees him sees the Father but Jesus Christ, because he is God incarnate by nature. Just as he is human by nature, he is God by nature. And this is what Paul is telling them, subliminally he's telling them. You are my beloved son, today I have begotten you, Psalm chapter 2, verse 7. You are, not you were, you will be, you are being, you are my son. Existed before time. Actually, you know, he was and he's not bound by time. We cannot say to the nature of the divinity, the divine nature of Jesus Christ is not bound by time, just like God himself, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is not bound by time. But the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, yes, there was a time where it became flesh in the womb of Mary, the Blessed Mary. May her prayers be a beacon of high wall of refuge to all of us, but was always with the Father. And it's a mystery, beloved. It is a mystery. But we see that through what Jesus did and what he spoke, what the scriptures are teaching us, that he is the Father. Not a God. He's not the Father, I'm sorry. He's not a God. He is not another God. He is the definite article, the God. And then he adds that today I have begotten you. Again, his humanity. This is one of the fathers writes about this, that he has begotten you, that his final generation according to the flesh that he voluntarily underwent in the womb of the Holy Virgin, so that he was also God, called begotten of God. His flesh, he was begotten, his flesh was begotten from Mary, and he is the only begotten of Christ, which that means he is the only one that is a perfect representation of our humanity before the Father. He took our flesh upon himself, made it perfect in him, made it perfect, cleansed it, purified it, and made it perfect, justified it, and represented it, or presented it to the Father. And that is why we remain in our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why, beloved, the word of salvation is this, that prior to Jesus Christ, whatever was prior in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, all the commandments and the 600 more commandments, prior to that, mankind was bound by that, was under the jurisdiction of the law of Moses. Jesus Christ came by his death and resurrection, saved, he brought salvation of that jurisdiction, and then how we become adherents and partakers of that salvation is when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are baptized in his burial. In baptism, we are put to death in baptism, in his burial, and resurrected one more time. Then we have new life in Jesus Christ for eternal life, heading for eternity. Not once we have been baptized and been born anew and have been saved and that's it, we're in the kingdom of heaven. No, because we have a great obligation to strive, not believe, stand outside the gate and say, I believe this is the gate. No. Strive to enter the narrow gate. Produce fruits of repentance until the Lord returns. And when the Lord returns, those who have been a part of his life, let's put it simply, those who have lived a pious life, struggled to live a pious life, struggled to produce fruits of repentance, struggled to produce virtues, to be obedient and continual communication and partaking with him through prayer, fasting, the holy scriptures, the holy sacraments of the church, yet maybe fallen and transgressed at times, but once again continued the fight. And those who prior to entering this warfare and warhead, prior to entering this battle, have been saved from the requirements of the law, then they will gain eternal life. They will hear, by the grace of God, they will hear the words, well done, good and faithful servants. So that's what Paul is trying to do, beloved. This is how we too need to present Jesus Christ to those who have no relationship. Those who have had a relationship, those who have been already saved from the requirements of the law, yet they have then, backslide. They have then walked away from Christ to bring them back one more time. There's no more sacrifice for that. You don't need to be put to death. You only die once through Jesus Christ. There is that gracious gift of confession and repentance. And there are tentacles: confession, fasting, praying, and repentance, and the absolution received from the church. And one more time, they are grafted back into the vine. Just like the Jews, just as St. Paul says, if they stop from their unbelief, they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they receive the holy baptism, they are also baptized, they live in Christ, they will be grafted and remain in Jesus Christ for that amazing day when he returns to hear those blessed words, well done, good and faithful servants. So again, St. Paul, he's continuing to speak to them of the old and to remind them one more time, because they knew what he's talking about, but still some of them would not receive him. Unfortunately, and you know, it's sad to say, there will be people when the Lord returns that would not have received Jesus Christ, regardless of how much preaching there is and how many times they are introduced to the truth of Jesus Christ. Some will not accept Jesus Christ out of their free will, but we need to pray for those people. We need to pray for the world, beloved. We need to pray that just as Moses commands the Israelites in Numbers chapter 12, verse 8, that let's not live according to our own thinking, how we think it's right. Let's live according to the precepts of God through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of his Holy Spirit. Praise and glory be to his name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share it with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.